And going through this book, and Philippians is the book of Christian joy. It consists of four chapters. Chapter one is broken up into two parts. There's joy in prayer, and there's joy in suffering. Chapter two is broken into three parts. There's joy in being humble, joy in humility. There's joy in obedience. There's joy in good company. Chapter three is all about the joy of looking forward. And I know y'all are looking forward to that Thanksgiving feed. And chapter four is about joy in focusing and joy in giving. But today we are going to preach on joy in good company. Joy in good company. Let me put this aside for a second. So we're going to begin reading in verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Now, Paul previously taught the joy of obedience, and he wanted to reassure the church that he will die for their zeal. If the Romans retaliated against their zeal, There was a fear that maybe what if we got too zealous and they killed Paul? Well, he reassures them and says, look, I'm willing to die for that kind of faith. And so the reason why he had that main idea, the reason why he was willing to do that, it was because he had his focus on the right thing. He had the same focus as they did. What was his focus? Souls. Souls. He wanted to see people get saved. And so the Lord pointed out something in Matthew chapter 9. Hold your place in Philippians chapter 2 and go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. And I'm here today, that was 2,000 years ago whenever he said that. The harvest is still plenteous and the laborers are still few. But I'm here to tell you, there's no greater time to be alive. I used to sit there and think, I would have loved to have lived 200-300 years ago and heard Jonathan Edwards preach Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I would have loved to have heard Billy Sunday preach. I would have loved to have heard Spurgeon preach. I would have loved to have seen Whitfield stand on a stump and belt out a sermon to hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in the middle of a field. I would have loved to have seen that. But God had a plan for you and me. He had a plan for you and me to live right here today in 2022. And today we have so many advantages to give the gospel out to whosoever. We have telephones. We can witness to people 500 miles away over the telephone. You can put a Bible verse on Facebook and share the word that way. You can send a missionary on an airplane and he'll be there in just a couple days. You can spread the gospel so easily, so efficiently today, but the laborers are still few. So the first point I wanted to make is focus. Good company focuses on the main objective, and that is souls. And these type of things makes me want to be a laborer. Yes, this world is getting bad. Yes, this world is getting worse and worse. Yes, it's probably not a fun time to be a Christian, but it's a time to be a busy Christian. We're called to be laborers, and we need to focus on the main objective, and that is souls. Who's with me? Am I in good company? There is joy in being good company. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody has a job here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For by the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as He hath pleased Him. So everybody has a job, and each job is important. There's not one job that's more important than the other. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a function in the church, and we need to focus our attention to use that job to reach souls. That's what we're here to do. And the Thessalonian church did just that in such a short time. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 7. So that ye were examples to all them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Understand this. Paul planted the Thessalonian church, and he was only there with them for 3 weeks, and he wrote this epistle not long after he left. I mean, very, very minimal time. So he was with the Thessalonian church a very short time. So these were baby Christians. And he says, you are examples to all the churches around you. They were baby Christians. They were saved no longer than a month or two. And they were leading others to Christ. Not only in Macedonia, not only in Achaia, but everywhere in the surrounding area, they were witnessing and winning souls to Christ. They were a baby church. They were full of baby Christians. And, you know, there's people today that's been saved 20, 30 years and they don't want to do anything for the Lord. They're here. People show up to church, but that's all they are, is they're here. They don't get out and they don't want to witness. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. If you're going to preach truth, you're going to ruffle some feathers. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. But there's people that's been saved for 20, 30 years, and all they do for the Lord is just show up. The Lord calls us to do more than just that. The Lord calls us to do more than just show up to church. He calls us to live our faith, to be the light of the world, so that we could witness to our neighbor around us, so that they can get the gospel. I'm going to ask you a question again. Am I in good company? Do we have the same objective in mind? Souls. Second point I want to make is good company is trustworthy. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2 again. Paul, he talks of Timothy. Verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy as shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of Him as a son with the Father. He hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. So he trusted Timothy to go over there and take care of that church while he's in jail. He said, I got this guy Timothy over here. He sends him to Philippi to take care of that church in his absence. Timothy was with Paul for a long time. He mentions him, he's like a son to me. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. We'll research how that relationship started. Acts Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul is beginning his second missionary, journey. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So he was a young man. He was very young, and he had a good reputation among his people. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So we all know that Paul, in his second missionary journey, planted the Philippian church, the church that Paul is writing to in the book that we're studying. And so the church was pretty much meeting at Lydia's house, and then Paul got arrested because he casted out a demon out of a girl, and then the people that made money off of that girl had him arrested. Look at verse 25 of the same chapter, Acts 16, 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." It doesn't say Paul, Silas, and Timothy, though. Where's Timothy? He's probably back at Lydia's house taking care of them. He's back at Lydia's house taking care of them, probably preaching to them, probably teaching them, and things of that nature. He was a very dependable guy to pick up the reins while Paul and Silas are gone. So he was probably at Lydia's house while Paul and Silas was in jail. We know that he was with them during that journey. So he took care while Paul was in jail, and Paul trusted him to go back to Philippi and take care of them once more and to bring a good report back to Paul. So Timothy was good company to Paul because he was trustworthy. Next point is, good company will go the extra mile. We're going to talk about a man named Epaphroditus. So let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So the Philippian church sent Epaphroditus to send a love offering to Paul while he was in jail. But they didn't know of his condition. They didn't know how bad he had it and everything. And turns out that they lacked opportunity. Epaphroditus found out that they should have given more. But Paul was writing saying, look, not that I speak in respect of want. He's saying, I really don't want the money, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done in that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, I departed from Macedonia. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift. He doesn't want the money, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I give all and abound. I have all and abound. I am full, and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. So let's turn back a couple pages to chapter 2. And Paul kind of gives a little bit more detail beforehand about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus came to Rome to give Paul that offering. Yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus. He's talking about sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi. My brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered unto my wants. How did he minister unto his wants? We'll go into more detail as we read. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But Paul had mercy on him, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrows. I sent him therefore more carefully that ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So that offering, Epaphroditus saw that offering was not enough, because Paul was in some bad living conditions. And while Paul was in prison, Epaphroditus said, look, this is what they sent me with. This is the offering that they sent me with. And I see you're not living in a very cozy place here. I'm going to get me a job in Rome to make the money to supply what was lacking. So he got a job in Rome, and undoubtedly it was not a very pleasant job, because it says that he got sick and he almost died in his sickness. And he's saying that would have upset Paul, because he didn't want nobody dying to take care of him, and that would have upset the Philippians, because he would have died working for something that they could have given more for. But Epaphroditus was willing to go the extra mile, and I got to say, Epaphroditus was a very good laborer for the Lord in that sense. He was willing to go the extra mile for Paul. Paul was in good company with Epaphroditus. And it reminds me of what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5:41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. So Epaphroditus was good company to Paul, because he was willing to go the extra mile. Next point I want to make is there's good company in somebody who will get back up when they fall. We're going to study about John Mark. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Good company gets back up when they fall. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Paul is getting ready to go on his first missionary journey. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And that's John Mark, to clarify. They had John to their minister. So John Mark was with them on the beginning of that first missionary journey. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed and being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, there's John Mark, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. He said, I had enough of this. I want to go home. So he said, enough of this missionary business. I've had enough. I've seen enough. I want to go home. But let's go to the second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16. Let's turn just a couple pages over to Acts chapter 16. Excuse me, 15 verse 36. Acts 15, 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them who? John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So Paul said, hey, I don't want him coming with me again, because we'll end up sending him home again. But Barnabas said, just give him another chance. So, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took John Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So John Mark went with Barnabas, and Silas went with Paul. So John Mark was willing to get back up and try it one more time. He got afraid. He saw enough. He wanted to leave that first journey. He said, I want one more chance. And so he wanted to go on that second missionary journey. Paul said no, but Barnabas said, yes, let's give him one more chance. And so they went. Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways, and Barnabas took him under his wing, and they went together. But watch what Paul says about John Mark in 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Paul is talking about the people that forsook him. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's talking about the people who forsook him. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and as is departed unto Thessalonica, Cratians to Galatia, and even Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, he's telling Timothy, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me in the ministry. So because Barnabas was willing to take John Mark under his wing, John Mark made up for it this time. And even he regained the trust of Paul himself, and he said, he is profitable to me in the ministry. He forgot all about John Mark leaving them in that first missionary journey. He even says, he is profitable for me in the ministry. So good company gets back up when they fall. And also, I want to make this point, good company has grace for people, gives second chances. Barnabas was good company to John Mark to give him that second chance. Maybe we need to start giving some people some second chances and not holding grudges to people. Next point I want to make is there's good company with the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 24. Proverbs 18:24. a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if you want to have friends, you're going to have to be good company. But understand this, that there is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been with me through the tough times and the easy times. He's been with me through the ups and the downs. He's been with me through the highs and the lows. He's been with me on the mountaintops. He's been with me in the deepest valley I could find myself in. And I got to say, the Lord has been good company to me. And he's good company to you too. Romans 8:38 and 39. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are a Christian, you are in good company with the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I've given them your word, and I just pray that it falls on good ground. I pray that we could be good company, that we can be laborers together, that you can use us as your church to reach the lost, so that we could focus on the main objective, souls, giving the gospel to people, keeping you number one in our lives. Help us to be trustworthy. Help us to get back up when we fall. And help us to give those people who fall a second chance. And Lord, if there's one here today that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today can be the day of salvation. And Lord, I just leave this message with them. And I just leave this message for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're about to give an altar call. Has God spoken to your heart?